Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting. Go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started. What's going on? Facebook Live, YouTube. What's up, my good folks? Jay, how you doing tonight? Looking a little bony, my friend. No, Jay's out of town this week, so thought what better way? Let's do a show, like a after hours type show. There's been a lot of talk going around in the kayak fishing community about a number of different subjects, so I always like doing these panel discussions with some of the other guys and gal in the PNF family. So we'll get these folks in here. We got Floppy, Mr. Hicks.
Floppy? I'm ready to talk some crap to people, man. Let's go.
Jimmy Skinner and Miss Susie Roloff. What's going on, guys? Susie's chowing down on some Crispix. I told her Cinnamon Toast Crunch is where it's at. Drop in the comments if you think she should switch to Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But
I still am trying to figure out what Crispix is.
It's half corn and half rice.
It's like a it looks like a waffle fry almost.
It's hollow. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
That's I've never even heard of it.
Is it a cereal?
It's yeah. A cereal, yeah.
Yeah. It's healthy.
That must be some northern shit. That sounds like a deer feeding up for winter. I'm eating half corn and half rice.
pretty much, man. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Jay, thanks for your input tonight, as usual.
I mean, it's going to talk about as much as Jay does.
Yeah. Trey Johnson in the YouTube chat says Chris Bex belongs in the garbage.
Word.
Once in a while, I'll eat that stuff, man. I'll eat it. It's not too bad. But wanted to start out, man. We got the KBF National Championship going on this week. And I believe Guillermo's leading, correct?
200 inches.
That's what I looked.
Yeah. Yep. And I saw a live stream. Chad was doing an update with him and Randy Newton from Kayak Anglers of Florida, I guess, is running their shows and stuff. So, Armando's in the chat. He said, "What's up, ladies, gentlemen, .. Brian." I don't know what that means, Poppy. But You know, obviously there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the NC. I think what they had over 300 anglers, right?
300, 40 some or something like that.
Which is down from years past, but I don't think that much. But I'm not 100% sure. I didn't follow KBF a ton. I know they made some changes this year and stuff, but didn't they change the qualifications a little bit?
For the NC? Sure. I thought it was the same, but I'm like you. I didn't pay attention.
Well, I know they got the Trail Series Championship, the Challenge Championship, the Team Cup Championship or Series or whatever, all going on at the same time.
Angler of the Year, all that.
Yeah, well, Angler of the Year is always decided now with the national championship, I believe, because that counts towards AOI points. But, you know, I'm pretty sure. A lot of different, like, conversations. I know one of the conversations going on is they're using Fishing Chaos versus Tourney X this year.
Which I hadn't heard too much bad about.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I don't like it from the following the events end of it. I haven't personally used it. And the only thing I saw that people have been talking about it today that I kind of kept up with, oh, Lord. It's a kidnapper stash over there. But some people noticed, I think Todd Patrick had a goof up where a 19.5 went in as a 119.5.
Yeah.
I had guys putting fish in at a tournament this weekend on Tourney X that were popping up as 0.24 inches because they just typed 24. Fish, well, they put 24 and pressed enter.
We had that issue in a paddle and fin tournament in Michigan. What happened there?
He entered it in as like 1 point something. Yeah, it's like 1.65 or something like that. So it automatically culled that fish. And, you know, it was after the ceremony because we had turned off the leaderboard and whatnot, you know, and he was just like, wait a second, I should have been up there. I don't understand what happened. And, you know, he told me, he's like, I know I had another fish submitted. I was like, wait a second. So, like, I looked at his cold, and sure enough, it was there. It was just entered in as the wrong amount.
Yeah.
John Rapp.
I'm going to ban Nick Nicrelli, not for saying the Ohio Hammer is a sexy son of a bitch, but he said, go Red Wings. Like, come on, bro. Seriously?
He's always saying that because my Penguins jersey back here.
Yeah, well.
Pittsburgh sucks.
Yeah, that's right, too. We need to take Hicks out till he takes that jersey down.
Go Preds, man.
But, no, it's interesting. And I remember that situation because it was like, you know, you and I had talked, like, what do we do in this situation? Like, dude submitted his fish. However,
it was on Tourney X.
It was just wrong length. So, you know, those type of things happen. You're always going to have user error, you know. But, yeah, it seems like it's a little hard to follow. I know, like, this morning there was a lot of discussion, like, in our group chat, like, where's the two-day total and things like that. Ryan Milford in the house. He said, how's those nails taste, Brad?
Oh, it was actually my stupid. I don't even know. it was the skin above my fingernail.
It's cuticles.
Yeah. So it's been kind of interesting, you know, like. I did see somebody comment like on one of the posts somewhere, I think it was on the KBF page, like, you know, kayak anglers are always afraid of change and like they don't take well to it. So, you know, obviously it's been a huge change for KBF this year, going full Fishing Chaos and part of last year too, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Like that, yeah.
No, I thought it started this year because NC was the end of Tourney X.
Yeah, right. That's correct. So it's been interesting, you know, and I also saw another comment posted out there like both apps are great. They both have great aspects to them and some have bad aspects to them. If we could just combine the two, we'd have one badass app for, you know, fishing tournaments, which I totally agreed with. I don't have an opinion on Fishing Chaos myself. I've never used it. I haven't had to use it.
you know, I obviously have used Tourney X a bunch. Like, have any of you guys used Fishing Chaos to like submit fish at all?
I signed up for two KBF tournaments and didn't fish for either one of them. So, no, they got my money though.
I did the testing stuff that they did with it. I got to submit the fish while they were like in the testing phase.
Okay.
But other than that, like, I'm not loyal to either app. I don't care. I'll use either one.
Sure. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. Like, if I end up fishing a KBF tournament, which, is probably possible because from the sounds of it, the pro tour is coming back next season. So, you know, that's kind of sparked a little interest, back in me, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. From, you know, what I heard briefly Chad talk about was, they're actually going to, after the first year or two, like they're going to gear it towards like an actual,
qualifying style system
and pro tour, where like you pay your money up front for the six or seven events, you're only allowed to miss one, and all that good stuff. Milford in the chat says he used it one time, it was fine. His only issue is I don't want a bunch of different apps just for submitting fish. Totally agree. Like, because well, Hobie was using that other app. What was it?
iAngler
for a while.
That one was rough.
Yeah, it was.
I never used that one.
Brock, I used it to follow tournaments.
I used it on both ends. I used to run tournaments on it and use it for tournaments. So it was a little rough, but this was like 6 years ago.
Yeah,
and then like that's when Tourney X was starting to, you know, get big up into popularity, and the easeability of building tournaments on Tourney X versus iAngler is kind of what iAngler lost at, because building a tournament, from what I can remember back in the day, it was kind of complicated and not as easy. But as far as like Fishing Chaos, from a, you know, somebody on an outside in looking in, my biggest thing is like, if I want to really look at the fish, I have to download the photos. That's my big pet peeve with it. Yeah. It's
for
just like,
what? I didn't follow that.
When you want to look at somebody's fish, it only shows them up as like small images. If you want to look at a bigger picture, you got to download them.
On iAngler or?
No, on Fishing Chaos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because like I like to zoom in and look at these things, and like especially
Susie's trying to find a flaw and be like, "Nope, you cheating son of a bitch."
Too, but the other thing, though, is that I've noticed that Fishing Chaos doesn't have watermarks on their photos. And remember that whole thing happened with Tourney X was some guy downloading other people's pictures from Tourney X as his own. So that was my. Yeah. First
I didn't know that was a thing either.
Yeah, that's why John, the whole watermark thing came about.
John Rapp chimed in. He said Gregory's events were via iAngler too. So I believe he's referring to the old River Bassin trail.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's interesting, right? Like, you know, things are evolving, you know. You really can't complain, you know.
Oh,
it's
shit.
All we're doing is evolving and getting better, which is great.
Funny bone.
I smacked the shit out of my desk. I think it was last time I recorded with Drew, somebody messaged me and was like, I hate to laugh on your account, but what the hell happened in your video? And I was scooting my chair up and I slammed my toe into my desk and silently screamed fuck a few times. It like Drew just kept going, but that dude commented and was like, I laughed a lot on your expense, but
that's
what happened?
Funny. That's funny. Well, Milford's in the chat. I pulled a Milford the other week. I think it was last week or the week before, dude. I drank a bunch of water and I had to run out of the podcast and Jay had to talk. I had to go use the bathroom, dude. So touche, Ryan.
That was Dan Perry made a comment last night when we had some of our local guys on. Luke couldn't get his computer to work, so he was like, take me out. I'm going to call my son and get him to tell me how to work this real quick. And when he went down and I took him out, Dan said, he's got to go poop.
Milford said
he's got to make a boom boom.
It happens.
So going back to something you were saying at the beginning of that was – kayak anglers are afraid of change. I think that's true, but it's kind of true about a lot of things, not just kayak fishing.
Change
is difficult for a lot of people.
Sure.
It's like human nature, man.
Yeah. You like what you're comfortable with.
And that's the thing too. Like I was thinking about it today because I knew I wanted to bring this topic up, you know, it's like, and I'm considering, you know, going back to the KBF Pro Tour next season. And I'm like, damn, I got to download the app. I got to, you know, run through the paces. Like I remember when I first did kayak fishing tournaments and downloaded Tourney X, and, you know, I had to, you know, get myself familiar with it. So I wasn't trying to figure it out on the water when I got a 20 inch fish on my board. You know what I mean? This is a huge announcement. Ryan Milford said Tennessee is voted to allow motors in all cast tournaments.
I've seen some backlash from that.
That's another topic, too, I wanted to jump into. I was on John Rapp's podcast. If you guys don't follow that, it's Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast. He does it live Tuesday nights. And Chris Payne had from Payne Outdoors had brought up motors, and he fished what was it? Lone Star State Throwdown, was that just the recent Texas tournament? And he was fishing that, and he was in a Jackson Big Rig FD, and he just felt like he couldn't like get things done because he didn't have a motor on his kayak, you know. And it's that age-old discussion, and I know there's been a couple YouTubers that have posted videos, Alex Falgaria and the other dude.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't like him at all. He's a D-bag. He used to be
super curious to who that is now.
Because I don't usually call people out, but this dude, exactly.
I know it's not Greg Blanchard or Robert Field or somebody.
No. This dude used to be on the New Canoe team back in the day, and he had a YouTube channel, and then like basically the kayak community like gave him the middle finger, and now he's like fishing out of a John boat. I don't even want to give him a spot.
Marcus Coates?
No.
Okay. I don't think Marcus was that bad.
I said douchebag, not cheater.
But
anyways.
Which one was Marcus Coates? See, I don't know if
he was the KBBT guy that got called out for cheating. Fishing out of bounds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That one.
But anyways, back on subject. Yes. Alex posted a video saying kayak fishing is dead or something like that. Kayaks are dead. And it was because of the whole, you know, most kayaks have motors now. And, you know, what he's saying is people are still going to buy kayaks and stuff. And theoretically, by definition, none of us fish out of kayaks. You know, kayaks were made out of twigs and seal skins or hollowed out of logs and things like that. Great. But, you know, it's cool to see because, you know, obviously, like Ryan said, like cast, they've been holding out on motors for a long time. I know Indiana Kayak Anglers, they've been like going back and forth for a while. Hobie, still human powered event, which is great. Like, you know, it evens the playing field for those folks that want to stay human powered, whether it be paddle or pedal. But you do have the options like me. I won't fish a Hobie event because they don't allow motors. You know, I'm a fat, out of shape guy and I don't feel like paddling all over the place or pedaling. Like I did that when I fished tournaments. I'd much rather use a motor, more efficient.
Nobody can say he didn't try because my man was doing it out of a Blue Sky. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. but you know, to each their own, right? Like motors aren't going away. Pedal drives aren't going away. You still have bass. You got KBF. So if you want to use a motor, you can go fish those. And if you don't want to and you feel like you can't succeed without a motor, or you don't want to get a motor and you want to stay human powered, you go fish the Hobie events. There's a lot of trails out there that don't allow motors as well. So like, there's still those options out there. But it seems like lately a lot of people have been bitching and moaning about how like there's been this huge transition into motors, which I think it's just the evolution of kayaks. Like we all started out paddling, right? Then pedal drives were the big craze. Now motors are the big craze. Like, you know, I saw Nick Nicarelli chiming in. He said, airboats are the future, you know? So it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's just going to be the evolution. Like, we're just going to continue, you know, doing new things. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I know I did a podcast once with Fletch from Westbrook Supply, and he said he's trying to figure out a way on how to rig up a jet drive on a kayak. Like, he figured out a way, but it's just like, you know. So
somebody, there's a guy, and they actually, of all places I saw it, was on TikTok, and they took some scuba gear, jet-driven propulsion systems for deep scuba diving, and they strapped two of them to a Sun Dolphin.
Yeah.
And it worked phenomenally well. And the last update he posted was that they have partnered with a company. They were having some mounts made, and they were in the phase of getting patents done on running a single or dual propulsion system on them off 12-volt system, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But sure. That'll be something before you know it. Off of what, like Alex Folgier or whatever, like, I would take almost that, what he said too, is the title to be like a clickbait.
It's clickbait.
100%. I don't 100%. Kayak fishing and kayaking as a whole. This is it's gone exact opposite of dead. It's everywhere. I'm sick of the motor versus no motor argument.
Me too.
Drew Gregory is one of the top anglers in the country and doesn't even pedal.
Yeah.
And then people will be like, well, he fishes skinny water.
Okay. Well, and that was one of the things we talked about in John's podcast was, you know, you just gotta, you could, just because a guy beats you to a spot doesn't mean he's going to catch a fish. He's still got to catch the fish.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You still need that skill. Couple comments in the chat. Milford says, since most people consider Hobie as the alpha pedal kayak, they would almost be committing financial suicide to allow motors in their vents. Don't disagree with that statement at all. You do see a lot of guys with Hobies though putting motors on the back, you know. Mm-hmm. But
and totally front.
Totally agree with that statement. Phil Robertson said, devil's advocate, leg disabilities make it tough to pedal and motors kind of level the playing field. I get that.
In that situation, I know like all of our clubs in our state, which we have one that allows motors. If you have a medical issue with it, you get a pass. Like you get to use a motor anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's the age old saying, man, like, you know, I remember it in the big bass boat world. Like, you know, one dude would have a 200 horse Merc and the next guy would have a 250. And it was like, oh, you know, this guy's going to beat me to my spot. Blah, 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 blah. Doesn't mean he's going to catch the fish, bro. Like, he's still going to catch the fish.
Dustin Connell fished before he made it to the pro level, whatever I can't remember what his first pro level was. Dustin Connell was in a boat, I think, that was like 3 foot shorter and only had a 125 or 150 on it. And he still beat all the guys in the 250 Mercs and the $100,000 boats. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
My dad likes to tell a story how he was fishing a tournament when he was younger. Everybody had all these big, nice bass boats, and then him and my uncle were fishing out of like a John boat with like a, I don't even know, 50 horsepower motor. Ended up 12th out of like 140 people.
My best friend.
We love you, bro.
My best friend growing up, they had a 16-foot John boat that the motor was blowing up on, but it had a decent bow-mounted trolling motor on it, and his brother would go down on the Tuesday night tournaments and put in at the launch and only have enough battery power to stay around the launch, and he would win like one or two of them a month against 40 or 50 guys.
This is a perfect example. Frankie Provolone chiming in. Wow. He runs a Slay Nation.
That's crazy.
And they do you could do a small boat, kayak, canoe, John boats. He said a float tuber won their AOI on their Minnesota trail. Like,
that's awesome.
That just proves it right there. Like,
you
know, that's about as man powered as you get.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I thought that was only popular on the West Coast. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of trout guys do that out on the West Coast. I know that.
I really want to try it. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, there's a few guys that do it, like in the rivers and stuff. You get in some deeper rivers. You know, I've seen them up in Wisconsin doing it.
Shane Mon said he started out before he was in a kayak. And then same with Brock or Brandon Howe or whatever.
Brian Howe. Howe. Yep.
Yep. Too many B names.
One of those dudes.
But no, it's interesting, man. It's an interesting conversation. A lot of people bitch and moan about it and things like that, man. But it's like, why? It's never going to change. It's not going away. You know what I mean?
A lot of guys, man, like in our state, we still, there's one club that allows it, like I said. And, you know, it gets voted on every year. Everybody is a strong pass in our state. And I think most of them's answer, it's not like you have a better advantage. It's the taken away from like the purity of kayak fishing.
Sure.
They don't use the word that way, but you know, that's just what it seems like. And like it honest to God, it might never change here. Like I run the state championship on bass, didn't allow motors this year. And I told them I would probably going into next year, follow Bass's rules closer. And
sure,
people are pissed. Like, so, and yeah, it's, you know, up in the comments, Trey made a comment about Cast, said they were like, they were the Amish. It's like settlement of kayak anglers or something like that.
Sure.
They've obviously never came down here and fished with us. Alabama folks is old school when it comes to kayak fishing. They don't like any of the big changes.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be a paddle snob and then I got real, dude. Like I was fishing competitively.
Yeah, real old.
Well, listen here, you son of a bitch. I will drive to freaking Alabama right now. Greenbow, Alabama right now.
I have a sandwich waiting on you.
Well, see, I was in the same boat as you, though. I was kind of a paddle snob, too. Now I got a motor. Now I'm back with a paddle. It's just...
Sure.
And in an inflatable.
See, that's the thing, too, right?
Thanks, like, sweet, though.
I fish a lot of lakes. Brad fishes a lot of rivers. Makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's all like what you're going to be fishing, I think, too. But like, you know, I like was so set on like, oh, I'm going to fish tournaments paddling. And I'm like, this is dumb. Like, what am I thinking? Like, I might as well just burn my money up. Like,
yeah,
you know, like if you want to cover water and you want to fish competitively at a national level, like, you know, don't get me wrong. Again, Drew, perfect example, like still paddles. But, you know, for this type of fishing I do and the style of fishing I do, I need a motor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you like the offshore stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I used one a lot last year and yeah, a decent amount this year. And it's definitely nice. Like my favorite example is in Texas. You know, I had a 2.5 mile run to my spot and I could spend that time with the boat pointed one way. And, you know, instead of having to like me fiddling with stuff at the ramp, I was on the water and ready. And then as I'm going, you know, things are going through your head. I can make that bait change now, you know, get my cooler set up, look at some maps, you know, look at pins, whatever. But like once you get to the fishing spot, I go right back to the paddle. Like,
Sure.
I mean, the motor got me there, but I've said it 50 times. We've talked about it. I got beat to my spot by a guy pedaling and I was running a motor and he smoked me in his Hobie. Sure, the motor. Now he was out of breath and I wasn't, but he held first place for 5 hours and I sure as hell didn't.
Yeah. So, sure.
Like, there you go. Pedals was way greater than the motor on that day.
Yeah, I mean it's the age old saying, man. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and it's, you know, just executing when you get to that spot. You know, but you know, do you guys think there should be any kind of limits on motors other than like what the ratings are now? Like as far as like, I think it's limited at whatever your hull is rated at.
Yeah, they shouldn't change it. They should keep it what it's at now.
I don't think it's like a like, should they allow bigger? Most of those is a rating because of a safety.
Yeah.
Like, that's right, what this thing can handle. You know, I agree with whatever that rating is because I think it's 3 horse kind of around the industry.
Roughly. Yeah, roughly. Because, I mean, the 1103 is supposed to be equivalent to a 3 horse, you know, Brad Hurlboss pushes that envelope. He runs a mud motor for duck hunting on the back of his new canoe, and I think that thing's like 4 or 5 horse. It's pretty badass ripping through the marsh. I'm not.
I'd like to try that. I didn't know he did that.
He's got some videos up on his Instagram or his Facebook, one of the two.
Is that long motor he has?
Yeah.
I got the big old foot on it.
Sweet, dude.
That's for ripping through marsh grass, yeah. But in mud and, you know, 4 inches of water, and it shoots mud everywhere, and you better.
They're the most loud, annoying things. Oh, yeah. When you hear them come by, but they are so cool.
Definitely cool, but you know, there's guys out there pushing the envelope, throwing like little 5 horse outboards on the back of their kayaks and things like that, which. You know, that's a thing too. Like, I've gotten into that discussion with many people is, you know, kayaks don't have planing hulls. So it doesn't matter how much you up the size of the motor on the back, doesn't necessarily going to make you faster just because your boat's not going to get on plane. You know, it's just going to push it through the water.
Right. Yep. So I think like with motors, I definitely think there should be, like how things are, people are wanting pro kayak fishing.
Sure.
I think that there should be in one day in like an elite series that's just all out. There's like whatever kayak, vessel, whatever electric motor, whatever, all, you know, if you want to run a front motor, a back motor, and 5 graphs. Yeah.
I know that conversation came up too a while back. Like, guys were talking about running a Torquedo on the back and then a bow mount with spot lock on the front.
Gene Jensen does.
That came up in the KBF leadership panel to see what, you know, the consensus was as far as allowing it. And it came down to they weren't going to allow two motors. They were just only going to keep it at one because, you know, a lot of the discussion was, you know, well, okay, you know, once you start allowing two motors, what's the next thing that you're going to have to decide on? You know, like how much further are we going to keep pushing, you know, the envelope? And again, you know, a lot of these things are evolving as, you know, the kayak fishing industry is evolving and everything. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, old school who want to keep things, you know, down to the, you know, natural part of everything where it's just, you know, the vessel and the paddle or the pedal, you know, whereas you get all more electrified, you know, does it take away, you know, part of that uniqueness, I guess, in a sense, more money in motors than the boat and tackle combined. Yeah.
Which is true. I mean, when you figure in a lithium battery, the motor, all that stuff, you're pretty much right about the same price as a kayak. This is
a lot of weight.
Oh yeah, this is a great question from John Rapp. Said two more, Big Daddy.
I was hoping he'd say that. That's right.
Jerry Ward brings up a great comment: two motors, not faster.
And it's going to take away your efficiency from your travel motor because you're going to weigh more.
Yeah. So this is a great question. Bow mount versus stern mount. What's everybody's opinion? Jimmy?
For me, for my style of fishing, it's stern. I use it from A to B, and then I use the paddle for precision. And I don't like the stuff in front of me. I don't like the head of the motor being up for how I cast real low and do a lot of loop casts. Spot lock is a cool feature, but it's not, I don't think I'd utilize it. I mean, probably a little bit like in current when I fish in current, but a lot of the times when I'm in a heavy current area, it's not deep enough to use it anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I can crank up the stern mount just a little bit enough to hold me in place or pull it up and paddle. But yeah, it's definitely stern for me.
Brad?
I was going to say, I've had both. So stern for what Jimmy said, and then bow mount. I didn't use spot lock much either. I used heading lock more than anything.
That's a cool feature.
That is a really cool feature. Just being able to cruise a bank and just keep casting and casting.
See, I would never use it for that. I would like point my spot out and get a straight line and just like kick back.
Well, the motor guide's not very good at keeping that straight line when you're full speed on heading lock.
Oh, really?
It zigzags.
Oh.
Susie?
I don't have a motor. I couldn't tell you.
Hobie no snob. Motor. She's a purist.
Hobie snob. Hobie snob. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey, I don't have
joking,
a motor anymore.
Joking.
Hey, I started out in a sit-in Pelican. So, you know, we all started somewhere, you know. We all started somewhere.
Now, imagine this. My tall, fat ass in a 10-foot sit-inside Pelican.
I would pay money to see it. We should have a tournament one day where everybody has to bring a kayak under like $300.
That's what we should do at the next Paddle and Fin meetup. Like, get a bunch of like shitty pelicans,
just a bunch of rentals from some
or sun dolphins, and we got to have
a person that stays dry and doesn't fall out wins.
Well, my inflatable don't fall in that price range, but would it be eligible?
No. Sit insides only.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sit insides only.
I prefer a stern mount. Like, I've always run it. Like, this year, fishing out of the big boat and having spot lock, like, it's pretty badass for some of the offshore structure stuff I do. But in a kayak, like, I'll fish the same stuff with the stern mount, and I got no issues. And I'm, like, I talked about this on John Rapp's podcast this week. Is Jimmy will tell you, I got some redneck ingenuity, right?
Are you still running that?
Well, I got the new canoe quick disconnect mount, okay, which is what I was waiting for. But in the meantime, I was steering with two pieces of rope like this. Like, Jimmy tried it out and he's like,
I was like, this.
Do this.
But he makes it look so natural, it's annoying, because he'd have him like just laying on his legs, and he would just like you can, like, his hands would be in his lap, but he would just go,
yeah,
and like, cool. And I'm like,
I had a motor, like, that motor was, the motor was like $220. You know, I do some work with BioNO Power, so I had my lithium battery, and like, I knew that new steering setup was coming out, so I was waiting for that, and you know, like, it worked. Like, you don't need to go spend, you know, like, what's the 1103? It's like $2,800.
Yeah.
Get a new Ports Vessels instead, man.
So that's what I'm switching to. I got the new port coming out. And yeah, well, and it's nice because you can choose whatever your battery is. So here's my battery setup: 2 12-volt, 100-amp-hour BioNO batteries run in series. Romel over at Newport was telling me I could probably do 40 miles before I run out of juice. Jeez.
See, the only thing I don't like, because I've been in this dilemma too, I knew that Newport's been around for a minute since before they partnered with New Canoe, or whatever that deal is. It's 24-volt system, which is what a Torquedo is. If anybody doesn't know, that little power pack is a 24-volt sealed battery.
Yep.
I thought about doing that, running 2 100s, because you get tons of capacity, but that's 48 pounds.
Sure.
It's a lot of battery. You can always go, because it's going to be efficient at 24 volts. I think you could go with a 54 amp hour that's 27 pounds at 24 volts with BioNO, and you could probably get the same full day plus fishing now that I get with my 100 on a 12. So that's where I've been at. Cause I mean, for you, you carry a lot of tackle, but you don't really have much of anything else in that boat. Like, when I fished with you, you know, you got like rods and gear and nothing. Like,
yeah. One style we didn't bring up, which I know, John Rapp uses, he said center console pod mount. Wes is chiming in. He says a pod mount as well. Like, Yak Gadget makes that pod mount setup for a lot of boats out there. The Feel Freeze, the Bonafide
Vibe, all of them.
Vibe, yeah. Like, and, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about those. Like, the only downfall I heard is like, it's only got 2 or 3 speeds, but still scoots you across the water.
Yeah.
Not exerting a ton of energy.
Yeah.
It's funny when John or people were posting about that pod mount on like the Bonafide pages and stuff, and everybody's like, don't use it, it'll void your warranty. And John goes on there and he starts setting everybody straight. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's funny how guys will jump all over that. You know, we got a Bonafide guy in our area, and he likes to voice his opinion like that quite a bit.
That sounds like a Bonafide owner.
Susie knows who I'm talking about, so she's laughing a little bit. But, you know, the old D man can, you know, get a little carried away with his opinions sometimes. But, yeah, it's interesting, man. The whole motor argument, you know, it's never going to go away, you know. Nope. But it's interesting to talk about it. And, you know, I think it's cool, too. Like I said, like, I love a bow mount with spot lock in a big boat. But like when I'm in the kayak, dude, that rear transom mount motor is just badass.
Yeah. It's I like it works so well, especially if you have a good boat that cuts through the water so well. Again, going back to your setup that you had. Oh yeah, definitely, Brock. That heading lock would be a feature.
This is
I would use.
This is the comment of the night, dude. This, we are doing this.
This could be fun.
Next meetup, $20 entry. We're gonna joust it out on our
kayaks.
Down at Eastport Marina on Dale Hollow Lake. It's happening.
What are we using?
Hope your insurance is up.
Yeah, we'll just use big swim bait rods.
Oh, and, no. Everybody go buy an ugly stick.
3,700 box. 3,700 box is your shield.
Yes.
And you gotta get a heavy frog rod.
I am so great.
Jimmy said the ugly stick catfish rods. We could do that. We could get Matt Robertson pro out here. He'd probably be in on that.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's
I want to. Oh man, I want to go against Jay. First round.
Jay, you know, rolls around in his kayak like this.
Exactly. You could just be like, he'd fall out.
Kicked back. It's funny, man.
Yeah, Richard, I hope your insurance is up because this is going down right in front of the restaurant window. Like, people are going to be like, the hell are they doing? They just got some beef they got to settle. Don't worry about them. You know, do you like the special?
It's a new sport.
I've also got the inflatable T-Rex costume, too. So, you know, we can make
it. Oh, that's got to go down. That's got to go down. Trey, buddy of mine, asking if we'll be at Dale Hollow in 2022. We absolutely will be. We're starting to talk about that now.
So Trey, we might even be working with one of your favorite clubs down there. So, shh. But,
one-on-one event.
Richard said, great. Start making your shields.
I knew Richard was listening.
I'm coming next year, dude. I missed it last year.
Yeah.
You've missed everything we've done lately.
You gotta, man.
Yeah, I've only missed like one thing.
So nice.
You missed the meetup. You didn't come to the Trail Series big thing. That was fun.
That's what I'm talking about.
That was
a lot of fun. You didn't come to the Yak Gadget meetup.
Nope.
Oh, that was last minute, though.
No, was it?
Oh, it wasn't. Was.
No, it wasn't.
Like he told us like a week before. I was like,
it was like,
no. He told us like a month and a half before.
Well, then I didn't see it until like a week.
You're
before.
Fired.
But yeah, so schedules are starting to come out. Anybody see anything interesting? Like they're looking forward to maybe participating in next year as far as like the big trail series go.
Yep, go I'm winning the TOC next year.
Oh, God. Okay, I'll give you my honest opinion, Brad. If he took the shit a little more serious, I bet you he could. Brad is a damn good angler, but his like, and I don't hate you for this. Like,
yes,
John, you could, but it's not your thing. I respect that. Oh God, sorry, I forgot man. About that. We drank so much shine that night.
God, that was so good.
We were drinking shine on our boat. The people next to us had shine. They let us have.
I've never had shine before either. Like,
you want to know how to get rid of COVID? Yeah. Everybody in three houseboats had their lips on that jar.
That's nasty.
That is true. That is true.
Oh, the peach. Oh God. Oh, that was so good. Oh,
but
I need more.
National trails. What are you guys looking forward to? What are you guys expecting? Like any big changes you think that are going to come out?
Go, Susie, because me and you talked about this recently on the show.
We did a little bit. But, you know, they haven't released much anything past what, like
March,
February?
Bass isn't out. KBF is through the end of February. Hobie has their first five. I don't really know first the five. Dates.
Yeah.
I think Hobie was like 2 June, maybe.
I think it's it like was June.
May or something like
May
that.
Or June.
I still got it.
See, even Richard's calling you out, Brad. He said you really missed out.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yep, up until June 4th through 5th. So, yeah, Toledo, Santa Cooper, Lake Eufaula, Broken Bow, and Lake Chickamauga.
And I believe KBF released some dates, too, on, on a podcast. They were only
up until, like, February, I believe.
Yeah, they're doing Kissimmee in January.
Yep.
For the 10.
For the 10, and the first trail series stop is in
Lake Shasta.
Yeah, and then
California.
Lake Murray.
Yep.
Off of that, though, Susie, do you think you would try to make any of those, or are you going to wait and see if there's something closer to you?
I'm going to wait until, you know, all the schedules come out, just to kind of see. You know, next year, I was thinking about maybe doing some different things, and I talked about it, you know, with you and Drew. You know, just kind of taking next year to just be like, okay, you know, like, what am I really wanting to do? Like, do I want to go up to the next level? You know, do I want to continue being like, you know, the TD type of thing? Do I just want to do my own thing? You know, just, I think next year is just going to kind of be one of those years where I'm like, all right, really figure out what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I totally get that. I kind of did that last year. I kind of took a step back, obviously helped run, you know, the tournaments with you and Jay for Paddle and Fin and stuff. But like, there was one thing I realized at every single one of those events, I really want to be on the water right now.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, that was the hardest part.
And that it made me miss the competitive side of things, you know? So I, you know, I'm personally waiting to see what Bass does and what changes they make. Because I think there's a lot of potential there, especially, you know, as far as, you know, getting your name out there, so to speak.
Dude, I am pumped that you're getting back into it. I don't know why.
I am too.
Right?
You had a heck of a year that year you did it.
That was the year before.
2019.
Yeah, I just kind of mind fucked myself at the end of that season and kind of blew up and imploded because I got in my head and I was so focused on other things. And it was a great learning experience, you know, like I know I tend to do that, especially when I'm doing well, is I start to focus on, you know, things that aren't fishing, you know, like AOI races, things like that. And
dropping your phone in the water.
John called you the pod father, and I'm never going to let that go.
If he did that on his show the other night, I'm like, dude, we need to change this.
This is great.
I recorded with Eldridge last night for the final cast talking about kayak hunting. And he had scrolling at the bottom, Brian the Killer Schiller, because we were talking about hunting. And I was like, really, dude? Like, we need to change that, too. Like, everybody's got these great names for me that I don't approve of.
It's better than Ricketts' name for you back in the day.
Yeah. So, toes or whatever? Jesus.
Smash is weird.
I mean, I miss it. I miss the competitive side. I fished one tournament out of the big boat this year, so I'm looking at maybe doing that as well, mixed in with the kayak.
Still you and your old man?
Yeah, well, we'll see. The old man's got a hard time moving around the boat, dude. I don't think he could last all day. He had a rough time.
Do some damage, man.
Little neighborhood tournament we did, which we smashed him.
Yeah,
we took third, but we just couldn't find the big kicker, you know what I mean? And it was funny. Later that night, I took the rep from Douglas out because he was staying at my place for a couple of days and put him on a 5-younder, man. Just stuck
in the same area
we fished during the tournament, dude.
You son of a bitch.
Really? Like, what the hell? Where were you earlier? I could have used you. We would have won big bass and the damn tournament, you know?
I'd be drinking beer on other people's money right now.
Yeah, right. Right. So. But
I need to find somebody who's really good at Lowrance, because that's like my main goal for next year, is to learn how to use that damn thing to its full potential.
So my advice, just because I haven't got to do it yet, I have had people I know do it. That's one of those things. If you have a local like boat pro, like an elite or most of those guys do some guiding, and you can usually pay for an electronic strip. And it's a like 3 to 4 hours, and they just teach you the electronics. Like,
that's cool.
That's something I think I want to do is,
I'm not sure who,
Dustin Connell, you can do an electron. I want to do an electronic strip with him and then go to Florida and do a trip with, Scott Martin.
They're down doing at, the 10 Invitational on Kissimmee, right?
Yeah. The trail series. The 10 Invitational and the 10 all at the same time.
Series,
okay.
10 Invitational, and the 10. Yes.
There you go. There's your answer, Brock.
I think Brad's right, though. I think you're going to do good next year. And I've
been playing with electronics a little bit. So, you know, I've always been a Garmin guy, and, I got an upgraded transducer from Brad Hurlboss because he sold his Ranger last year so he could get his duck boat, and he had the older transducer, so he put that on the boat and he gave me the upgraded one. He's like, nice. Fuck this guy, you know. So he gave me that.
Guy's gonna listen to this podcast and call Brad and be like, bitch.
it was interesting, right? Because like it definitely changed the clarity of those graphics. And then on the big boat, because this year it's just been crazy with electronics. We got a Garmin behind the steering wheel or on the dashboard of the, you know, by the steering wheel. And then we got a Hummingbird up front. So I've been playing with that Hummingbird and the side imaging on that and stuff like that. Like, and I can see now why everybody's like a lot of big boat pros are running all three for different aspects. You know what I mean?
Well, you can't beat. So Hummingbird, and Trey's making a comment that goes a long way with that. So Hummingbird, the mega units, which is it's the Mega Vision. Their down and side is almost impossible to beat.
Yeah.
Garmin's with the live scope and stuff run absolutely phenomenal. And then like Lowrance, a lot of people like their 2D. Like their 2D is very, very detailed, very good signal. And that's like, I think Jacob Wheeler was one of the first people that really did that. He ran all three at one event on the front deck.
Yep.
And whacked everybody's ass. And they were like, well, is that fair? Like he paid for it himself.
I think it'll be interesting to see what's on the front of his boat this year, because I saw him hanging out in the Hummingbird booth for quite a long time down in Lancaster this year.
But going back to what Trey said, he told me this story, and Adam Reiser is like the Hummingbird like god. Like,
nice. Ooh, I got me one. I'm gonna have to talk to him.
Trey's not the first person that's told me, be like, yeah, I let Adam set up my unit, and I'll never touch it again. Like I'd be scared to like mark pins on it and like it might change something.
I agree with this statement from Rap. Electronics probably more important than a motor if you're well versed in using them. Like I'll admit, like a lot of my success when I was fishing tournaments, like a lot of it had to do with that electronics, you know, learning side scan, reading that side scan, like finding subtle things where, you know, fish were going to be held up, like my PB Smalley down on Table Rock, dude. I was going out of a bay and I always have side scan on so I can see what's going on the bottom. Saw rock pile, pitched my jig to it, and pulled up a 20 3/4. Like, you know, so, like I would have never fished that spot had I not seen that rock pile.
So when I got into electronics, and a lot of it's like was budget stuff when I got into kayak fishing, it was, you know, you wanted, well, I'd like to at least know what water temp and depth is. So I found a deal on a Raymarine Dragonfly 5, I think. Yeah, that's right. And it didn't have side scan. It just had down and chirp. And it may have had navigation. I can't remember. Used that. And I always thought that it was great. You know, every now and then you could find you find your bait, you see laydowns, you know, trees, stumps, rock piles, whatever. I did not realize what I was losing by not having side scan. When the first trip I ever got to take with, I borrowed a buddy's boat and had side scan on it, and that's what intrigued me to give it a try. When I finally put side scan on, the first trip was at Del Hollow when the water was real low.
Yeah.
I think that was in an October.
Yeah.
Last year before. I can't remember. It was in October.
Yep.
But I was just running across the lake and happened to notice on the graph, you know, and noticed a, I think it was a bush, if I remember correctly. And because of side scan and how it shows distance, you can really pinpoint where it is. Like, sure. You know, it's, this is where my transducer is. This is the distance away from the boat. And I flipped right over there with a chatterbait and caught a fish right off of it. And was like, holy cow, I've been missing out. Like, it's definitely a tool. And I'm not, like, I like shallows, man. I like, most of the time, especially with the Raymarine, I'm so shallow, it don't do nothing. Like,
yeah.
It tells me water temp. Yeah. That's about it.
That, and yeah, like my home lake, a lot of the places that I like to fish is just nothing but weeds. And, you know, it doesn't matter how clear water or how good of a fish finder you have. It's just so distorted because it's just, you know, nothing but weeds. So, but I mean, that's what I'm kind of used to anyway.
Yeah. And then like people like Dan Perry, Dan Perry's great with electronics. And, you know, I told him this year, like he's a really good ledge fisherman, like offshore guy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I'm kind of starting to understand my electronics. You know, would you show me? And the day that we went out together, we didn't really have much success, but we had had some phone conversations and he had just told me a few things. And having the side and down, I went out there and capitalized. I've literally never caught fish like that before. And, you know, pitching big jigs off of the first ledge off the shore. And I was able to find that defined edge and then find structure off that defined edge. And then based off information he gave me, be able to narrow down the high probability areas. And I caught fish. That was one of the most exciting days I had this year. And I don't think a single one of them fish was over like 17 inches. But it was, I was so out of my zone. Like, I'm out here paddling around in figure eights, graphing, look like a complete idiot. I'm not even sure if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be. And then I'm like, okay, this is what he said. This looks right. Drop a jig. Stroke, smoked it. I was like, oh my God, I did it. And then I did it like four more times and I was like, well, this is awesome. Like, I can learn something from this. Like, see, and then I haven't fished, I think, but once since then. So,
I've been without a fish finder for, I don't know, a few months now since I sold my kayak.
It hadn't slowed you down none.
Well, I actually fished a spot that I usually fish with a fish finder on the river here. And I fished it Wednesday. I could not find the hump. I'm like, I do not remember where it's at.
Isn't it crazy how an area that you know you can't find the spot?
Yeah. Yeah. I was sitting there trying to find the drop. I was like, I can't find it. But when I have that fish finder and I find where there's these river ledges and stuff, I immediately like switch my baits. I throw something different there because that's how I fish.
Yeah.
So I'll fish like the deeper stuff right down that freaking drop off and that's where they hit.
I know what that's like. Like, even with my electronics, there's a spot. I have a hump on Gunnersville that obviously doesn't move. But I swear to God, every time I go out there, it's somewhere different. I'll be feeling for it and be like, nope.
Where yet?
Nope. Looking on the mapping, it says it's there. Nope. And then I'll, like, move 100 yards and be like, oh, it's over here now. I swear to God, I took Catherine Fields out there. I was like, yeah, there's a hump over here. We searched like a quarter mile area and could not find it. We moved over like 100 yards from that quarter mile and we were on top of it. I was like, I swear to God, this is not where it's usually at. Like,
that's weird. Yeah.
But it was hilarious. Well, Brad, what are you going back to the schedules? I know you don't fish national, but have you thought about just swinging at one just to go out there and maybe cash a big check? Or are you just going to, do any local stuff anymore? Or
dude, I had the hardest time trying to afford even local stuff this year. It's been tough. So
yeah, I had some truck trouble and
I sold two kayaks because of car troubles and it's been stupid.
I understand. Like I'd like to not think about the money I wasted on national events this year, but now I don't go into it. I'm competitive. It's fun, but I said it from the beginning. I like to go do the national stuff because I spent my whole life not ever traveling really out of the state much. So
I would love to do it.
Yeah. So the last 2 years, that's what it was for me. Like I said it when we did the KBBT show, like Greg Nozar was like, nobody spends $250 just to go hang out. And I was like, I'll do it five times a year. I don't mind. It's just money. Like,
right.
And I don't know. And going into next year, they're like talking about this, like, have I seen anything that looks good? Kissimmee is, it doesn't even matter who's holding it. Like KBF is, again, that's the event I wanted to do most this year. And we had like I can't remember what it was. I think I had a big job that I bid that they jumped on and I couldn't go there. And that's because where the Kissimmee event is, man, Fellsmere is 45 minutes from there. You have a chance of catching an 11 or 12 pound bass. Like you have that chance anywhere in the country, but it's such a high probability there. And I just want to go fish in those waters, you know, paddle only, no motor, marshy Florida big bass. That's just, I want to do that.
Did you guys hit on this question yet? Best unit around 500 or
not yet? Mm-mm. We were still, we were finished. Me and Brad hadn't talked about the tournament.
Choice. Nobody wants to hear from you.
Fuck you. I hope your season sucks, which is going to suck because I plan on fishing with you next year. So
yeah,
me and Brian are going to take over the world next year. We're going to wrap our boats. We're going to travel around the country. We're going to kick everybody's ass.
Make our own blue sky.
Yeah, we're going to tie our shit together. That'd be funny as
dude,
hell.
Dude, I would love to see you guys beat everybody. That'd be awesome.
I'd love to do the Kissimmee event, but it's usually right around fishing show season for us up here. So, like, I have commitments with that, so it's hard for me to get out of that. But I think I need to do it, dude. I got to do it at least once.
I am going this year. If no one goes with me, it's an open invitation. Even any of our listeners, I'll split a house with anybody. Like, you know, splitting house is cool, man. You make new friends and everybody has a good time.
Serial killer that'll probably stay with you.
Yeah, bring it on. I sleep with a big gun. Come get some.
Oh,
it's like, did you catch any fish? No, but I got a nice wall hanging person. But I think, come on, Trey. Let's go to Florida. I see that down there in the comments.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people. Brock says, I want to go to Kissimmee. And I could actually roll with him because I could pick him up on my way. John Rapp says, I like meetup aspects like the Yak Gadget trip, P&F events, things like that. I want to answer Phil's question before we forget about
it. Yeah, I've got some input on that too. Go, you speak first.
Well, it depends, right? Like, I know stock is short on pretty much on everything all across the board. But typically what you'll see is right around Christmas in January, a lot of this year's units will go on sale. And you can get some pretty killer deals. Like, that's how I got my Garmin 93 SV. Watch for that. I know when I got my Garmin, I paid $600 for it. It was in January. Jeez. And that was like when it came out, it was $1,000 unit.
Yeah.
But I think I walked out of, I got it at Gander Outdoors and I'm a rewards member with them or whatever. And I paid $618 with tax. Dang, out the dude. Door. Yeah.
Nice. I paid $650 for the 73.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like,
you got ripped.
Watch December, January, February. The older units are going to be just as good. Normally what they do is they upgrade the transducers, which you could always order down the road.
Yeah.
Or, you know, run into a buddy that's selling his Ranger and get his upgrade. And
shafting whoever bought it.
Yeah.
Something I would say is don't be afraid to buy used.
Yeah, that's true too.
A lot of, just like anything you see in any kind of hobby, a lot of people that have money have to have the new cool thing. Mm-hmm. So you can usually get a good deal on the old. Something else you can do, I definitely what Brian said, because I screwed up one year when I bought my 7-inch Hummingbird. I got a decent deal on and got it for like $599, and literally 2 weeks later it went on sale for like $350. And I was like, yeah, kiss my ass.
The one thing I want to say about that too is, like, if you're looking to utilize side scan and down imaging and stuff like that, spend the extra $100, $150, whatever it is, for the bigger screen, because you're going to see more detail.
Yep.
I mean, it's just key. It's key.
Yeah. I've moved all the way up to the 9 just for that. Like, just getting started. If you're on a tight budget, the Raymarine Dragonfly 7 Pro is great. Not a lot of adjustability, but really good picture. And for people that are just getting into it, you don't need to be pressing a lot of them buttons anyway.
You just need to
figure out what all that means.
Yeah.
You can get
saw Adam in the background.
I did too.
I thought it was a Sasquatch at first, and then I realized it was just Adam walking around Susie's house.
But hummingbird units that don't have mega. You don't have to go extreme. They still have pretty good picture if you can figure out how to set them. Call Adam Riser.
Sure.
Yeah, because I can't help you there. One other piece of advice. You can shop around with brands on pro deals. Ooh, I keep seeing them walk by. Hey, there he is. Hey, show me them arms. But so there are things called pro deals. It's not pro staff.
Yeah.
You can literally just email tons of companies and see if they have pro deal offerings. And they'll be like, sure. And it's basically like you're getting product for a review, or they might ask you for the, you still pay for it.
Post.
Yeah. But you get, that's how I got my Raymarine. I got the Raymarine 9S. The Raymarine Element 9 with the 9SV transducer, which has downside, chirp, navigation, and the whatever their real vision thing is, 3D vision. Like you said, it was $618.
Sure.
That's a $1,300 unit if you just go buy one, or $900, $1,200 something. So you can, there's so many ways. If you just don't get in a rush, don't buy something just because you're like, I got to have it. Take your time.
Well, and that's what Phil mentioned. He said, damn it, I knew I should have waited. I picked up the 7SV Vivid in May. I'm not 100% happy with it.
Flip that bad boy. Put it right back up on Facebook. Somebody will be in the same boat you were, and I'll buy it right back.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, when as technology like progresses, the prices of like side scan stuff's going to go down, too.
Yes.
So you're already getting that coming. Yeah, it has for sure.
Like it's because side vision was awesome. Like, I mean, it still is awesome. That's the wrong way to put it. But it was like the best thing. And now
everybody's going to like the LiveScope, the 360 view that Hummingbird's got and stuff like that. So that's where you're seeing like a lot of guys dumping a crap load of money into that stuff.
I can see the 93. About having
electronics more than your boat. There you go.
Yeah. You know. I could see the Garmin 93 you have going for a lot less in the next year or two, for sure. Brand new.
I don't know anything about the Lowrance unit. The Hummingbird 4DI, I'm not familiar with either.
I would just say Hummingbird. A lot of people that run, I mean, there you have Lowrance lovers, but like across the board, most of the people that I compared electronics with lean towards Hummingbird. So I would say, and I absolutely hated Hummingbird because I had so much trouble getting the adjusting in. That's why I left Hummingbird. But I will tell you right now, when you get one dialed in, nobody's downside imaging is better, straight up.
There's a lot of features on this Hummingbirds for sure.
For sure.
Which I think is what makes them better, is you just have to know how to use them.
Yeah. 100%. Right on. Well, we're a little over an hour, man. We'll start wrapping this up.
I thought we had some more topics.
What do you want to talk about?
We'll just have to have a part two. No.
I'm in for that.
Yeah, we could do this again next week. Who knows if Jay will be here. Jay, you going to be here next week? Okay.
No.
Good talk.
Jay will be back. He's down in Tennessee.
And so. He didn't call me, that son of a bitch.
He's just making a run down to drop some stuff off at the new place. Richard says Eastport Marina's got a deal right now where if you apply for a sports credit card, get a $100 gift card. If you spend $1,000, get $200. If you spend $2,500, almost no interest for 12 months.
Your boy can spend money quick. What am I spending money on, Richard? Do I get like 10%? Do I get like 10% ownership of one of the houseboats? Because I'd be down.
That's what we should do. We should all chip in our money and have a paddle and fin houseboat and just park it at Eastport, dude.
As long as we can wrap it, paddle and fin, sail a big flag, run around Del Hollow like we own that bitch. I mean, slide off the slide on the back deck, not get in trouble.
You can't do it at the marina. Can't do it at the marina.
Can't Brian, do it at the marina.
Brian, we need out on that.
I did. I was smart. I made JP go first. It was a good thing. It was a good thing. I was playing it safe. JP, the firefighter, living life on the edge as usual, got us in trouble.
If Richard hadn't called, You were going in. I had already taken all my valuables out of my pockets, and you were about to get Bill Goldberg speared off that bag.
You would have gone with me, my friend.
It's fine. I was ready.
Oh yeah, I was ready.
What was it? He was like, "You freaking white people! I know I was going in," or something like that.
Titus. Oh yeah, yeah.
He was just on the way other side of the boat because he knew what was up.
Oh man.
That's awesome.
He was like, I'm the smallest person here. I know how this goes.
If you guys are interested in that deal, for you guys watching now or listening later on the podcast, go to eSport.info. And that's their website. All their phone number information will be there. Get in touch with Richard or Nathan or the big boss, Wendy, down at eSport. See, didn't forget awesome. The big boss this time.
So ready for some more food. Down
but,
there.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That nacho bar, I thought I was going to have a heart attack that night. Swear to God.
Oh, my God.
I think my favorite one was the night that she stayed open and she was like, here is all of the leftovers. And then she wouldn't charge us for it.
Yes.
She probably got tipped like four times what that meal cost because we were like, absolutely not.
It's like a hodgepodge of just like everything.
I had like two steaks, cucumber salad. There were like burgers mixed with like pasta. We had all sorts of food flying around.
It was so good.
It's definitely family down there, man. It's awesome. We love those guys. They've added cameras as well.
Ooh, well, you're gonna get to see a lot of us on those. I guarantee it.
Streaking in front of the cameras.
There's something blinding the camera. We can't tell what it is. Oh, it's just Brian's ass.
Yeah, you just see Brian's face scroll down.
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny. Love you, Richard. We'll do final thoughts, man. Jimmy?
I'm just looking forward to next year, honestly, already. I kind of got burnt out on everything this year. Talking with you and talking with Susie and seeing schedules come out and big changes I hear at KBF. I'm still not sure if what we've heard was true, but like half of my sources have said, yeah, that – I talked about it on our show, so I'll say it, that Christy Hoover took over as president.
She did?
Yeah. Yeah.
I still don't know if it's true, but people are telling me that it is not a troll. I don't know.
Well, and that's interesting. Before we end, like I saw that as well. I think it's going to be better for the KBF organization. And this isn't a knock against Chad. I think Chad tries to do way too many things.
Yeah.
And
take something off his plate.
Take something off his plate. She has always done an awesome job with KBF.
And she's a sweetheart too, man.
She is great. She's great. And I think it's going to be great for the KBF organization. There's no doubt in my mind Chad will still be involved, but you know, Chad has mentioned in a bunch of his YouTube videos he wants to, you know, focus on some other stuff, mainly his YouTube channel, creating content, things like that. Awesome. Like,
which is great. The stuff that got him where he is.
Yeah. And I think the biggest problem is he's been trying to do that and KBF and, you know, many other endeavors in, you know, mistakes get made that way. Like, trust me, like I make mistakes all the time. Like, I have a normal job. I got the podcast. Like, I got, you know, Rocktown sponsorships, things like that. Like, I'm not perfect, man. I'll be the first to admit, man. It's a lot to keep track of. Mm-hmm. And the organization he is, you know, started, like, that's even more, dude. I can't even imagine the type of stuff, like, he's dealing with on a consistent basis. So, I think it's great for the organization. Congrats to them. You know, I'm sure that wasn't an easy decision for Chad. And like
maybe
I said,
it was though. I mean,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I guarantee you still gonna be involved.
Well, what I take away from it too, I mean, yes, he'll still have a say so in it,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, mama gets what mama wants. Mama, you do what mama says, you know, and like everybody across the board likes her.
Sure.
So a lot of people would go at Chad because of ego. Yeah. You know, you from don't agree with how he does
it. It makes way more sense.
Exactly. But like going back to the thought thing on it, like that, a lot of that has like got me hyped up for next year. Me and you've talked about like legitimately like doing it together a little bit, chasing bass around and
sure,
try to take it a little bit serious or go around and fish a bunch of places and film stuff. And I don't know. I'm kind of ready for next year. Right now, I want to focus on hunting. You know, Brian and them already got their, our season opens tomorrow. Brian already got one. Congrats, dude. Food in the freezer. Yep, that I'm getting down with that. It Saturday.
That was the arrow hit the deer.
But I'm you know, curious to see how next year goes for everybody, and I'm also ready to see what we're doing next year as far as paddling Finn, man. I'm ready for hanging out with all y'all folks and see what events we got coming up and
yeah,
what new, man. We've ever since I've been a part of this, we've had all sorts of cool big new announcements and
sure,
people that want to be a part of it and all sorts of stuff. I just can't wait.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Susie.
Final she's thoughts.
100-pound sacks at Banner Marsh. That's what she's talking about.
Oh my God. That was like the best day I've had at Banner Marsh. Not just like fishing wise, but just like everything wise. So it's kind of a bittersweet though, because, you know, here in Illinois, all the DNR lakes, well, almost all of them, will be closing for hunting season. So this coming weekend is basically my last opportunity to get out to Banner Marsh before it closes, so which I'm planning on going both days. So, you know, it's kind of just like that last, like, hurrah, the season. I mean, no, there's no tournaments or anything going on, but it's just kind of like that those last endeavors,
yeah,
and kind of like that final wrap up, you know, for me, because like once I'm done with that, then usually I really don't, you know, go anywhere or do much, just because if I do want to go somewhere, I got to go like hours away just to find, sure, somewhere to go. So, you know, it's kind of a wrap up in that sense, but, you know, it's also it's like my recharge time in a different sense, and my time to kind of like refocus and like kind of restart too, you know? So like, okay, right, you know, what am I going to do for next year? What am I going to start working on now? What am I going to do for this, do for that, that type of thing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm kind of sad about it, but I'm not as sad as what I usually am. of course, we, you know, it's going to be a lot chillier. We've got like 44 degree nights coming up. So,
So do we, and it's Alabama. That's exciting.
Alabama.
It's supposed to be 41 Sunday. I cannot wait to be sitting in the woods.
Yeah.
Now we'll have a tornado like the week after that, and it'll be like 95. But
Brad Hurlboss was just all the way up almost into the UP for grouse camp. And like last year, we were just talking about this on his podcast because I recorded with him. That'll be out Saturday. But last year at grouse camp, it snowed. This year, tornado siren. I'm that's like, crazy. Weird. Oh my God,
global
dude.
Warming. Yeah.
So weird. So weird.
That's way up north, dude.
Yeah.
It's the weather's been weird this year, man.
It has. Mm. It has.
Like everywhere, it's been just whack. Like,
yeah.
I'm blaming that on my fishing, which I can't say my fishing was terrible this year. I fished a lot less, but I had a really good year. I ended my year when I'm usually, like, I'm usually really good in the fall. That's kind of like when I like to fish, and I literally haven't fished since August. So, whatever. Yeah.
Nice. Bradley, final thoughts. Bonker.
Go Penguins.
People give me crap about it, but I am looking forward to putting my dry suit on and chasing some winter smallmouth.
Oh, Big Bird. Because
that's your thing, dude. Last year,
yeah,
dude.
You crushed it last winter, dude. Crushed
heck
it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a green dry suit, and I'm going to come hang out, and we can have the, like, Sesame Street gang.
You'll Oscar be Oscar the Grouch. Grouch. Nice. Yeah. Justin's Big Bird, right?
No, Justin you're has Big a Bird. One. Yeah, I'm Big Bird, and Josh is a Cookie Monster.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Cookie Monster.
We need an Elmo. I'll wear red.
But yeah, see, like, I don't care.
There's a river not too far from me that apparently does hold smallies, but I know that they don't get like up to a decent size just because it floods every spring, so they can't spawn very well. But I've been meaning to make it a thing to like get a dry suit to go down there and just start learning like river stuff.
Get out there and do it.
I know. Well, I just gotta.
She's
find,
saying
like,
this,
right,
and she's
dry
gonna
suit.
Like. She's going to hit us up and be like, look, I caught a 21-inch smallie in that spot I was telling you about in the dead winter of February on the ice.
Dude, if that happens, like...
I want to come back and hit the Kishwaukee, dude. Oh, my goodness.
Whenever you want, dude.
Dude, I want to come do that with y'all. And I think, Brad, I think you should come do some ice fishing with me and Brian because I'm coming back on Brian's birthday weekend.
I'll do it. Let's go.
We're going to whack the gills, and then we're going to go eat freaking walleye, and I'm going to get fat as shit and hang out with your dad.
I haven't been bluegill fishing in, like, 15 years.
God, we caught so much fish, man.
Let's do it.
Jimmy's arm was sore, dude. He's like, dude, is this...
I'd be down to clam.
Yeah. But it was, hey, no,
whenever,
yeah, it was exactly what I hoped it would be
this year.
It's shitty, freezing cold, and lots of fish.
Yeah,
where's the Kishwaukee at?
Kishwaukee's down the road from my house. It
dumps
into
it
dumps into the Rock River. Yeah,
I'll just drive up like a day or so before and get a dry suit at Rockton.
Yeah, I was gonna say
they are footballs in that river.
Yeah, they're chunky. Footballs. They're healthy. They're healthy. Nice. All right, boys and girls. Oh, wait. Brad, you didn't give us your final thought. Oh, you said final thoughts. Winner.
I don't care.
Smallmouth. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Boys and girls, thanks for sticking with us this long. Those of you listening on the podcast, we appreciate you all. Thanks, everybody who chimed into the chat. Let's do this again next week. We'll have another... like OG after
Knights
hours,
of the round
whatever,
table.
Just you know, random Lords conversations talking about some topics throughout the kayak fishing stuff. It was great, man. We got a lot of feedback tonight. It was good. Jay will be back next week as well. And as always, boys and girls, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace.